Shalom, everyone. I hope my sound is coming through good. I'm going to be reading from a satsang that Maitreya gave on October 15th of 1989. And the first question was, have unit consciousnesses always been with the Father before the creation of the universe? And Maitreya answered, remember that when the creation started, or the Big Bang, or the beginning of the universe, all that period of deciding, let there be light, was a very short period of time, probably a millisecond or a second in time, before the awakening of the universe with that first release of energy. Everything was in a state of balance. Nothing was manifested. Nothing was there. People say it was the state of nothingness. But how can anything be created from nothing? The consciousness and the three gunas were there, but they were in a sleeping state, just like when we fall to sleep. When we are asleep, we are in a complete relaxed position. When the creation started, when God woke up, or the balance between the forces was disturbed, the whole universe started getting involved. The burst of energy started going out, and because of the different levels of the consciousness in the universe, different levels of manifested started coming through, coming to awakening. That is why some people call it the primordial soup. So it was in a state where everything had the potential of being created, but nothing had manifested itself yet. It was just that everything was there. Everything had the potential to be created, but hadn't. Just imagine that everything was awakened and had the potential, just like us. We have so much potential to manifest so much, but we're not aware of that potential. So it was there. It was not awakened yet. It was there, but it was not awakened. The moment this energy was released, the first awareness was, I know. The second was, I do. And the third was the memory, I have done. As it expanded itself outwardly, that energy should have been incredible. It is beyond our imagination. The heat in the sun is beyond our imagination, the millions of degrees of heat. We even feel the heat of the sun millions of miles from it. Just how hot is it? Can you imagine how hot the sun is? Even your imagination reaches its limit, doesn't it? It is so hot. So imagine now how incredible that energy was that the universe came from, that the whole thing evolved from. See, it is beyond our imagination. You really have to stretch your imagination when I explain these things. They are not just some things that can be intellectually understood. They are things that you really have to meditate on and become one with. A moment of creation with such incredible energy, releasing such incredible power in the universe. As these feelings evolve themselves from knowingness to doingness and memory, because of the different levels of the consciousness in the universe, there were different feelings manifested. Knowingness can be three kinds. It can be from knowledge, passion, or ignorance. Doing can be three kinds, or memory can be three kinds. So these unit consciousnesses were getting evolved. As they evolved, they resided in different levels of this primordial soup, or whatever you want to call it. These unit consciousnesses were in the levels they were, and they were with God in the very beginning. So yes, in a sense, all unit consciousnesses were here forever, and they are going to be here forever. See, nothing can be destroyed in this universe. Whatever is here is going to be here forever. Our fear of destruction is the fear of ego to die. It's ego that is afraid of being destroyed or dying. Death does not really exist. How can we die? Nothing can be destroyed in this universe. You can't destroy anything. You can't add to it either. That is it. We are in it, and we are going to stay in here forever. But ego is afraid. Ego is afraid of destruction and death. And it is our ego that dies. Some people, when they start meditating, feel they are going to die. It is the fear of death. It is not them that's afraid. It is the ego. Ego sees it has to go because it has to be replaced with truth. Self, with a capital S. Everything has been here, and everything is going to be here forever. So the answer to your question is yes. Everything was with God from the very beginning. And the next question? The Bible says that they were in darkness, and God decided to help them. This period of time is much longer than 12,000 years, so why does the eternal divine path begin after the destruction of the Atlanteans? Maitreya said, I don't know why the person who asked this question got the impression that the eternal divine path was evolved after the destruction of the Atlanteans. The eternal divine path is from spirit. This is a spiritual path. It is something that already existed in spirit, in the soul, and God knew it the moment he woke up from his long sleep or the beginning of creation. That is the way to salvation. That is why it is called eternal. It has been in eternity. That is why it is the eternal divine path. It has been here forever and is going to be here forever. It is in eternity. It doesn't have any beginning. It always was in spirit. It always was in soul. That is the way to salvation. That is the way the spirit knows the way back home. It did not evolve 12,000 years ago. It was here before 12,000 years ago. Actually, the Lemurians and Atlanteans used to follow the eternal divine path. That was why they progressed, prospered, and became such a great civilization. The Lemurians were the spiritual force behind the Atlanteans. They were the priest class in that period, and they were destroyed. There are many theories on why they were destroyed and how they were destroyed. We do not want to get into that now, but they were destroyed, and the Atlanteans lost their spiritual base. The Atlanteans were the warriors and very scientific people. They were scientific-minded. When the Lemurians were destroyed, the Atlanteans did not have that spiritual base anymore, and they fell to the belief that they could do anything they want to with science. That is why they relied so much on chips and crystals. Really, chips are crystals. They reached a point where they thought they could even extract life from the universe and use it for their longevity, etc. They reached a point where they left God completely out of their system, and that is when the destruction usually comes. No matter what society we talk about, when they come to this point that they believe in themselves, not in God, that is when the destruction comes. And it usually comes from within themselves, society. No great civilization was destroyed from outside. It was destroyed from within itself. It decayed from inside. Then some outside force came and just pushed it a little bit. Since it was already decayed within, it was ready to fall. The last push was from outside, and that was it. Just read the history. Even if you do not remember the Atlanteans, you remember the Grecian Empire, or Persian Empire, or Assyrian Empire, or Roman Empire. If you study them, you will see they decayed from inside. Of course, eventually, an outside force came and inflicted the last blow. But the decay was always there. So that is why it was decided to close the third eye of the human for the last 12,000 years, to leave them almost alone to see how they do. If we study the last 12,000 years of history, we see they didn't do a very good job. It was all destruction, war, famine, etc. So now again, we are on the brink of opening our eyes, our third eyes. But that history has been a lesson for us. That is why it is part of the mission teaching that you do not throw out the old or bring something new and say that everything from the past is no good. There are many notions from a lot of New Agers that this is a New Age and we have to throw out everything, including the Bible and all the history. They say, we know what we are doing. We are God ourselves. We do not want those things, and we can do it ourselves. That's not true. History is a good lesson. The past shows us the pattern that teaches us how the future should be built. The last 12,000 years actually have been a lesson for humanity to learn from. So the eternal divine path did not evolve 12,000 years ago. It evolved from eternity, and the last 12,000 years have been a lesson for humanity to learn from. Now, following the eternal divine path, with the lessons we learn from the past history, surely will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I'll go to the next question. How did the begotten Son of God realize the path to salvation before the creation if there was no one else with whom he could do a community of light or to sacrifice for, etc.? Maitreya answered, you have to realize, really, when you're talking about the first begotten Son, you're not talking about the unit consciousness. As you remember, God said, let there be light. God sent His spirit to that darkness. So the first begotten Son really is the Spirit of God manifested. What is God? God is the Father and Mother. Where is He? He is everywhere. Now, it is very hard for us to imagine a God that is everywhere and everything, and He is Father and He is Mother. He is the consciousness and the three gunas. In order for Him to manifest Himself in the highest possible level, He projects His spirit as the first begotten Son, or what a lot of religions call Messiah. When He said, let there be light, really, He was projecting Himself to the universe and was created as God manifested. And because He is God manifested, and He is the manifested world, He has to go through a process. He already knew the eternal divine path. The only thing is, He had to go through the process and remember that the eternal divine path later on. In a sense, that question sounds like we are talking about another unit consciousness as the first begotten Son. But really what we are talking about is the Spirit of God in the manifested world. About the question that there was no one there whom He could sacrifice for or create the communities of light with, remember that the unit consciousnesses were with God from the very beginning of creation. The only difference was that they were in different levels of consciousness. Some of them were so low that they became stones. Some of them were so high that they became the masters in the ethereal level, which we still have. Many people do astral projection. They do astral traveling in the ethereal level, and they go and meet these masters. These masters are sitting there, and they have their own universe, and they talk with them and tell them what to do and what not to do. They are in highness. They think they are God themselves, which they are not. God is only one. That is the one spirit that is Father. So see, they were already there. When the ethereal level was created, these beings were already there for the Son to contact. He contacted many of them, in the ethereal level especially, because they were in a much higher consciousness than anything else in the universe. Eventually, some of them were guided. Some of them joined him.
Salam, everyone. I will continue the reading. We have almost finished the question. Some of them created the communities of light. They had the Feast of Tabernacles together. All were laughing. Eventually, many were guided and they learned the eternal divine path from him. That's why he is called the eternal priest of God, because he eternally knows the eternal divine path. He taught them and they eventually became one with him. They became his angels or his workers or his helpers, etc. That is how he realized the importance of the communities of light. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that whenever the morality is low on earth, there is strife and humanity is lost, my spirit, Krishna's spirit, God's spirit, rises on earth and corrects the problem. And when it's corrected, he leaves. He says, okay, I've done my job, goodbye. The next question, how can we be sure that you are the Messiah? We heard so much about false prophets, even several Maitreyas. And the answer by Maitreya, you see, I had to prove to myself who I am and what I am doing here. It was proved to me that this mission and teaching is the greatest revelation that has come to earth, at least for the last 12,000 years. I saw how you can unify the religions of the world and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth with this revelation. It was revealed to me how prophecies are fulfilled through me. I am convinced these are the prophecies fulfilled through me. So I made it clear to myself, and I reached a point that my faith is strong, that what I am doing is right. I proved to myself this is true. Now I don't have to prove to anyone else that this is true, because that's what I had to do for myself. I had to prove it to myself. So really, it is up to you to prove to yourself that what I am saying is true. This is your problem, not really a problem, but that is how it works. Because if you cannot prove this to yourself, then you don't have the faith. If you don't have the faith, then you cannot help, because help comes from faith. When you really, truly believe and prove to yourself, yes, this is it, you will have faith. Then you have the fire of the Holy Ghost to help carry on God's plan. These prophecies have come so that the teaching of unification will come to earth. These teachings have come that the kingdom of heaven should come to earth. These teachings have come that Jews and Christians are waiting for a Messiah to come from the east. Where I was born is east of Jerusalem. Buddhists and Hindus are waiting for the Messiah to come from the west. Where I was born is west of India and Tibet. His birth name is going to be Mohammed. My name is Mohammed. He is also going to be called Maitreya. I didn't call myself Maitreya. I was given the name. I didn't even like the name when they gave it to me. I asked for another name. I said, no, no. All these other disciples had name like Ishvara, which means controller of the universe, etc. I wanted to be controller of the universe. All were laughing. This teacher gave me the name Maitreya. It means compassionate. Who wants to be compassionate? I wanted to be controller of the universe. I didn't give any of these names to myself. So just look at these things and also experience the truth. If it hits you, it is right, it creates faith in you. If your soul longs for this truth, then you have to create this faith so it can be proven to you that is the truth. That is the question you have to answer, not me. Also, I was impressed in my consciousness to talk about ourselves tonight a little bit. We are now becoming a family and a community more and more. We also have to empathize, think, and meditate in this family and community that we belong to. We have to extend our family environment to this family and know that there is always support in this family for you. We are no longer friends. We are sisters and brothers to each other in God. If you have a problem, it is the community's problem. Also, because you have an extended family, know that if you have any problem in your small families, it is also the problem of the larger family. You can always rely on one another. Actually, that is what Christ said. Christ said that is how they know you are my disciples, by loving one another. That's the only sign he gave for the world to know that you are in the eternal divine path, with loving one another and being one. If a door closes to you in one way, know that there is another door which will open for you. God works in such a way that whenever he closes a door, he opens many others for you. That's why we have to live everything in his will. If it is his will, fine. Let it happen the way it wants to happen. If we become very attached to the things we have, then we are trying to keep this door open while we are missing the other door that's already there for us. So if there is something going and you see the energy is no longer there, let it go. It's okay. Don't be attached to it. Just love it. Meditate on it. Leave it to the Lord and say, God, thank you for this period that you had such a wonderful thing for me. I enjoy it. I am ready to let go of it. Just let it go and don't be afraid. You will see the other doors will be opened to you. Also, as I said, this is the community. If a door closed, the community is always there for the support of the members. That's why we know we are following God's will by being one, loving one another, and supporting each other. We are like little children. We want to have candy every day. It's not good for us. If we eat too much candy, we might create diseases, spoil our teeth, and all those things. So he says, no, come and have some good vegetables once in a while. Sometimes God's work seems harsh to us because we are so attached to the things we have. But if we really know him, he is not harsh. Okay, I will read in Golden Keys 7, Government and Society. Question number 1. What type of government does Maitreya favor? Monarchy, representative republic, true democracy, national socialism, or communism? I left off theocracy because any of these types could be theocracies. Answer by Maitreya. The governmental system is based on the communities of light. The leaders will emerge from these communities based on the purest form of democracy. Majority choosing the leaders in small groups. Read the plan for more detail. Only in this system will a government from the people, by the people, and for the people emerge. No system has been created so far that represents the people completely until this one. You can call it theomocracy a pure democracy based on God's will. Question number two, will Maitreya attempt to work towards setting up one world government? Answer by Maitreya. If the unity of man is achieved, one government for that unified body is unavoidable. How can the prayer, His kingdom come, His will be done on earth, be fulfilled if He is not the King of all? Question number three. Since there is one path that all religions are part of, if a world government was put together, would it be run out of New York City as the United Nations, or would it be run out of Jerusalem, where most religions have their roots? Answer by Maitreya. It will be run from New Jerusalem. Question number four. Does Maitreya believe that a good leader should be able to rule at any level of government for their entire life? Does he feel there should be mandatory and universal limits on rulers' terms? Does he feel that if a ruler proves to be ineffective, it should be possible to take him out of rule early? Answer by Maitreya. Read the section Kingdom in Thoth for answers to all questions you have about the godly government. Here are short answers to your questions above. In each level, leaders who are chosen for a few terms, 3 or 4, depending on the level, and are never advanced to a higher level are accepted as an elder in that level. They no longer can be considered for a higher position and or for any other position in the hierarchy which emerges from the communities of light, unless they have unique abilities that no one else can provide. Only this position can be held for life. Except for the elder levels, there are term limits for leaders on every other level in the hierarchy. There is also an impeachment process to eliminate leaders who are not doing their job or are not doing it well. Question number five, where is the appropriate level of privacy in society? One extreme has total anonymity for all people at all times, akin to anarchy. Crimes would go unpunished, etc. The other would have no privacy, being watched while you sleep, eat, drive, walk through the park, watch TV, etc. Answer by Maitreya. Middle path. The prime directive in this question is good people and goodness should be promoted, and bad people and criminals should be discouraged, corrected, educated, punished, etc. to become good. Bedroom privacy is absolutely enforced, unless criminal activity is performed, such as pedophilic acts, torture, etc. Parents are chosen by God to raise their children. Unless a parent is proven to be extremely bad for the growth of their children should be left with them. Parenthood, marriage, and great fathers and mothers should be encouraged and helped to become the norm. Parenting is a great sacrifice, which is part of a great society and the communities of light, the base of the kingdom. In general, the society should be set up to fulfill the purpose of life, to become divine, one with God. Anything that opposes this should be discouraged and corrected. Number six, what level of control does Maitreya feel is appropriate on people's personal choices? Should people be allowed to travel wherever they want, whenever they want? Should people be able to pick any doctor they choose and go in for any surgery they desire? Answer by Maitreya. All things depend on time, place, and people involved. For sure, there will be freedom for all of humanity to move on the planet or off the planet, if possible, as they please, unless any limits are needed to restrict this because of things such as disease epidemics, unrest in some parts, etc. Education and health care should be provided free for everyone. The best educational environment and health care should be available for all. A system of almost full employment will be achieved by reaching into space and hiring everyone to help reach to all the stars and planets. Question number 7. Should we impose a limit on the population of the Earth? If yes, what limit and how could it be enforced? Answer by Maitreya. It is better to reach out to space and populate other planets than to impose restrictions and limits on population. Of course, the Bible clearly reveals that at least one-third of humanity will perish in the coming tribulation. Question number 8. What is Maitreya's definition of slavery? Answer. Forced labor with little benefit to the worker. Question number 9. Why was there not a command given thousands of years ago that thou shalt not keep slaves? Is slavery acceptable if the masters are not? Answer by Maitreya. Basically, humans do not want to work on mundane jobs. All throughout history, those who dominate are not the ones that do the mundane, but their slaves. Also, they use the slaves to build great economic bases and prosperity for themselves. Not being cruel includes compensating fairly for the work a person does. That no longer is called slavery, but a servant or hired person. That we still have in all cultures. If a person serves another person out of love and respect, such a person is neither a slave nor a servant. He or she is a disciple. There is a possibility that much of the progress of civilization or humanity needed slavery to be accomplished. Therefore, in those situations, it might have been permissible. It seems, however, that idea of slavery is becoming more appealing to humanity, and robots and other technological advances might easily replace slavery. Question number 10a. Who does Maitreya feel is most responsible for the terrorist attacks on 9/11? Is the truth regarding those attacks what is widely known, or is it actually a conspiracy and cover-up operation that gave the United States an excuse to go to war? Answer by Maitreya. The cause of all evils is ego. Those who attacked the U.S. have egos, and the U.S. is run by people who have egos. In fact, all countries have this problem. If you have ego, you do not have compassion. If each party had compassion and tried to understand one another, there would not have been a war or any wars or terror on Earth. Question number 10b. If it is a conspiracy, should the perpetrators be held accountable, and in what way would that be done? The answer, if there is a conspiracy, what is the base of it? Such matters should be investigated, and if proven there was a conspiracy, then the perpetrators surely have to be corrected and made an example of. If this is true, then not only has an unjust war been waged, but the leaders also lied to their people. Such leaders should be corrected in the harshest way possible. The leaders are the head. When the head is sick, the body is sick. Leaders should represent the people. Number 10c. If it was an attack, as described by the media, should the perpetrators be held accountable, and in what way would that be done? Answer. Both sides should be listened to, and the grievances from both sides should be addressed until an agreement is reached in which neither party would create an environment where such things would happen again. If one party is found to be guiltier than the other, an appropriate action should be taken to correct the injustice and the crime. From then on, any grievances should be looked at immediately. The guilty party acknowledged and the situation corrected. Question number 11. Should officers of the peace and the military have access to guns? Should there be a military at all? The answer by Maitreya. The warrior class is a part of human society. We will need police forces and security forces for some time into the future. It is the decision of the leaders of society under any circumstance to see if it is needed to have such organizations or not. These are details which should be decided according to time, place, and people involved. The ideal would be to have a society with no crime and all responsible and good citizenry. However, the ideal and what is are not always the same. Question number 12. Should the public have access to guns? Answer. In the case of responsible citizens, the answer is yes. However, the original idea of gun ownership so that people can create militias and oppose a corrupt government is no longer valid. Governments have bombs, fighter jets, drones, etc. Should people also have these? Only then could they oppose a corrupt government with a similar and comparable force. So these days, guns are for recreation and or self-defense against the intruders to our homes and our properties. The idea has changed, and having guns for these purposes should be allowed. If someone misuses this privilege, they should be corrected, and, if necessary, their guns should be taken away from them. If you choose not to have guns, that is okay too. Now, how do we correct the corrupt governments at the present time? The answer is to create God's system, which corrects itself if there is any corruption. Number 13. Should weapons of mass destruction be kept by the government as a deterrent? Answer by Maitreya. If there is peace and unity, why would we need them? If we do not bring the peace and unity that God has predicted to come to humanity, then there will be proliferation of weapons of mass destruction on Earth. Right now, as we speak, many countries desire to obtain such weapons as a deterrent. If they succeed, other countries will do the same. The more people have such weapons, the greater the possibility that someone will use them. One use might be enough to end the human race from radioactive fallout, retaliation against the first user, etc. Number 14. Is war ever acceptable? Answer. There is a time for peace and there is. Even the Bhagavad Gita is about God and a just war. I will stop reading here and let the mic to someone else. Salam, everyone.